This week on the Pro Wrestling Podcast, MJF gives an update on his contract status with AEW and relationship with Tony Khan. Is CM Punk done with AEW? Eddie Kingston shoots on Real Life Heat with Sammy Guevara. And Action Bronson on his AEW debut. I'm your host, Seth Grimes, and this is the Pro Wrestling Podcast. What the fuck is up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Pro Wrestling Podcast. I am your host, Seth Grimes. Excited to dive into another week of Pro Wrestling podcasts and shoot interviews. It's a great week. Did you guys have a good week? I had a good week. It was not bad at all. I'm excited for the holiday season coming up. I'm a big Halloween-y guy. I like to see that the fall leaves are starting to come down already. Trees are starting to turn colors. All the pumpkins are out in the stores. Went and got myself a couple pumpkins yesterday. I'm excited. I love this shit. Love this time of the year. It's also a great time of year for pro wrestling. Lots of big things popping off in the world of pro wrestling, so I'm excited to get into it. Let's go ahead and just dive right in. Before I do, if I could bug you to please like, follow, and subscribe at Seth Grimes Media on TikTok, Facebook, or Twitter if you're on any of those. And throw me a subscribe if you're watching here on YouTube. Just click the red button down below. And with all that said, let's go ahead and just hop on over to our first story here. As MJF made the podcast rounds this week, talking about his contract status with AEW and his relationship with Tony Khan. As you know, last we seen MJF, he was calling his boss Tony Khan a giant mark, a fucking mark to be exact, and then he walked out the door. And we had not heard from MJF in months, and the ratings missed him. As clearly shown by the fact that ever since MJF's been back, the AEW ratings have been up over a million. Now, you could contribute that to any number of things. The Bucks being gone, Punk being gone, or just, you know, it's this time of year, you know, more people are sitting down to watch TV as summer's wrapping up. Or it could be MJF. If you ask MJF, it's going to be him, right? He is the GOAT. He is the fucking key player for AEW. And he's definitely a key player, that's for sure. And of course, when he left AEW, it was over this whole contract issue. He felt he was not getting paid the money that he deserved, not getting paid the money that he's worth. Check out these clips. There's two clips here, actually. The first one here is going to be from Ariel Helwani's MMA Hour with MJF talking about his contract status. Check out this clip.
I believe it was in Inglewood. You cut that, I don't want to say promo, because that's...
I hate that terminology.
What would you call it?
It was an oratory exhibition, is what I would say.
You called Tony Khan a fucking mark.
At the time, yeah. At the time, it felt warranted.
What was the state of your relationship then, and how would you compare it to now?
Now it's great.
So what changed?
Money.
It was just money.
I'm a simple man. Look, I go out there, all I do is win. I'm winning in the ring. I'm winning on the mic. I'm constantly winning. So obviously, I had no problem with how I was being showcased. That wasn't the issue. The issue was money. I was looking to my left and my right, and I was hearing rumblings about what guys were making when I was three times the draw they were minute by minute. Again, I've seen the analytics. And I went, that doesn't work for me. I'm MJ freaking F.
Right.
Pay up.
Then later in the day, MJF appeared on the Wrestling Podcast with Brandon Walker over at Barstool Sports, and he elaborated on his contract situation and relationship with Tony Khan. Check out this clip.
ever.
When you get in
the and I'm not done.
Sorry, I thought
and
you
I'm
were.
Gonna win that world title. I don't care if it goes on Danielson. I don't care if it goes on Moxley. I don't care who it goes on. It doesn't matter to me. I'm gonna win that world title. I'm gonna hold it till January 1st, 2024, and then I am going to go to the highest bidder. Could be anybody, as long as it's not New Japan. Fucking hate New Japan.
Don't want to go to Japan.
It's literally, I don't understand how people still pretend it's a company that's like important. It's wild to me.
What if they paid you the most money though?
Honestly, they could pay me $1 billion. I won't go.
So really, we're just talking probably two bidders. I mean,
no.
AEW, maybe another wrestling company.
Well, who's to say that there can't be a financial backer who wants to start a wrestling promotion that's willing to pay me an absurd amount of money the United States of America? Listen, I'm very good friends with Freddie Prinze Jr. Now, I'm being completely transparent. I'm very good friends with Freddie Prinze Jr. Mm-hmm. He's starting a wrestling company. Who's to say that he doesn't shell up enough money for MJF? Who knows? Who knows who his financial backers are?
That would be quite the summer catch.
I saw what you did there, and I want you to know, you're a fucking dad.
You know that was good.
Freddie Prinze Jr., that's interesting. That is interesting. I don't know. I know Freddie is going to be starting his federation. I don't know if it's going to be like just indie level or if he's going to try to make a go for a big TV deal. If he's going to try to be a third brand out there, I don't know how far he's trying to go. I kind of see it as more of like an MLW level promotion, maybe even just like a pro wrestling guerrilla level promotion. But certainly Freddie Prinze Jr. has the ability to pull in big money backers if that's something that he wanted to do. And look, I don't believe that that's the case with MJF. I definitely think it's either going to be WWE or AEW, right? They're the only ones that are going to be able to come up with that kind of scratch. But it's interesting to hear that MJF is just out there for the money. You know, we don't know his true feelings because he is always in character. He could certainly be just all about the money, but we don't know if his inner wrestling fan is a mark for main eventing WrestleMania like CM Punk was or any number of other people. I mean, it's certainly a bucket list thing you want to scratch off your list. Even just being a part of WrestleMania in general is certainly a bucket list item, I would think, for any young professional wrestler. But you know, at the end of the day, it's a business, and that's how the guys looked at it back in the day. It was a business. The all the old school wrestlers weren't marks for, ooh, I want a main event WrestleMania. Nobody cared about that shit. You wanted a main event WrestleMania because it meant more money. It wasn't like a bucket list thing where you're just, I dreamed that I would grow up one day and I would main event WrestleMania. So MJF seems to be all about that scratch, all about that paper. You know what I'm saying? And he's not shy to give his opinion, and I love that, especially him ragging on New Japan Pro Wrestling. He did it in both of these interviews, just buried New Japan. He even went in further detail about Okada, you know, fucking Okada, ripping on him for being number two in the PWI 500. Look, it's a little bit weird that MJF, you know, I don't know if this is just him talking, just kind of trying to bluster his image and his ego out there, you know, just kayfabing things. It's very unusual for a guy to get a raise in his contract without signing an extension. You know, if he's getting new contract money, but he's still on the old contract time limit and he's still out in 2024, that's pretty much unheard of. People don't really do that, and that would surprise me greatly. Even though he's a key player for AEW, I mean, look, he would be in, he would have breached his contract if he just refused to wrestle ever again. Tony Khan had him under contract to wrestle until 2024. He could have sued the shit out of MJF, had MJF just decided to take his ball and go home, never come back to AEW and wrestle. So, he was obligated to compete under that contract. So I think there's more to this than meets the eye. And by the way, that was his second contract. I see a lot of people out there are still under the impression that this is the same bum contract that MJF had when he walked off the street as a fucking greenhorn from MLW. And that's not the case. Tony Khan, after I think the first year, after he got his bigger TV deal, you know, he had a certain set contract for when he was doing just like the ad share when he first got on TV to kind of test yourself. But once he re-upped a contract with TNT, with Warner Media, he handed out new contracts to several talents. I know, at the very least, I know MJF got a new contract, just handed to him. It wasn't like he didn't have to fight for it or argue for it or renegotiate or anything. It was just like, here, man, I value you. I got a bigger money contract now, so now you got a bigger money contract. And he gave one to Britt Baker as well. He re-upped Britt Baker before her contract was up. He just said, hey, let's tear up this old one. You're worth more than that. I got more money coming in now. Let's pay you what you're worth. So this was already MJF's second contract, and it would have been a breach of contract for him to just refuse to wrestle until 2024. That couldn't happen. You know, Tony could sit him home and sit him on the couch until 2024, which might severely diminish his star power if he were to go to WWE, or just build anticipation for his return, I guess, anyway. But you put him on ice for a couple of years, that'll really put a dent in things. But I don't know if he did get a new contract, a bigger money contract, without an extension. That's the story going forward, but is that the case? I don't know. Look, MJF's good for business. So whatever Tony Khan decided he needed to do to keep MJF around was smart to do in the short term, especially because he's going to have contract negotiations coming up before, you know, with Warner Media for a bigger money TV deal. And that's going to happen before MJF is set to leave the company. So it behooves Tony Khan to have as much star power on his roster contracted where he can go to the network and be like, look, I got this guy, I got this guy, I got this guy. That's kind of the same reason why people are thinking that they put the Ring of Honor title on Chris Jericho, is that he can go to the network and say, look, I got this guy and this guy and this guy. You know, Chris Jericho's our champion. So and you heard MJF say it in the clip, like, you know, the network loves MJF. They're happy with MJF. Of course, remember, they were in the house when he delivered the fucking Mark promo. What did he call it? An oratory exhibition. As he doesn't like the P word, as he calls it. Look, MJF's worth every single penny that he gets paid. He delivers in the ratings, absolutely. Sometimes there's more to it than that, though, and his youth, his arrogance might be clouding this as well, but some of it is just star power, right? MJF might deliver the ratings week to week, but that doesn't necessarily mean you get CM Punk money, right? You know, it doesn't mean you get Chris Jericho money, because you can go to the network with the names. Whether the names are drawing your minute to minute compared to MJF, maybe they are, maybe they're not, but they're also household names. And that helps seal the deal on bigger contracts when you can say, I got this guy, I got this guy, I got this guy, like we just talked about. So MJF's not necessarily a household name quite yet. He's got a little bit of work to do ahead of him to get to that point. He will be. MJF's going to be one of the biggest stars this business has ever seen. I guarantee it. He already is a top guy. And, you know, he deserves top guy money, but he doesn't deserve, like, CM Punk money. You know what I'm saying? So it will be interesting to see how it actually plays out in 2024. If MJF is under new contract or how that works exactly. But I would go out of my way to keep MJF. He's your franchise player. You know, I wouldn't break the bank on MJF. Sometimes maybe his ego might just get a little bit too far ahead of him, and he might think he's worth way more than he actually is. But in my opinion, MJF's worth almost any penny that you can muster up to pay him, short of like CM Punk, Chris Jericho money. He doesn't get I'm a megastar legend money, but he gets top guy money. Absolutely. CM Punk, not likely to return to All Elite Wrestling. This according to Wade Keller of the Pro Wrestling Torch. Wade Keller is a credible source, y'all. He's not just some schmuck on the internet, you know, speculating. He's an OG in the pro wrestling journalism game. He's right up there with Dave Meltzer. He's just more low key because he doesn't put himself out there as much as Dave does and that sort of thing. But, Wade's absolutely, if you hear something's coming from Wade Keller, you can pretty well take it to the bank. Though on this one, he's just kind of speculating, right? He's just taking an educated guess on the situation. I see a lot of news sites are running with this. CM Punk's not going to return. And of course, I am too. That's the headline. CM Punk not likely to return to AEW. But this is just Wade reading the tea leaves on this one. He's just looking at the overall situation, what happened at the media scrum, what happened in the backstage fight, and that now CM Punk's been removed from the opening intro of Dynamite. He was not mentioned in the illustrious long history of the Ring of Honor Championship by Ian Riccaboni. He is persona non grata with AEW right now. And so that's, Wade Keller is taking that as a sign that, look, this is probably done. And what they're going to be looking to do is probably negotiate some sort of contract buyout. Because you can't just outright fire Punk, because at that point, there's definitely going to be lawsuits. Punk's already shown himself to be a fairly litigious man. And there were rumors out there that he kind of needed the money to begin with, that he was kind of running out of money. I don't know how he could, unless he's just living some kind of lavish lifestyle. He's definitely made enough money and has enough name value to continue to make money doing other things, MMA commentary, comic books, movies. He's been in movies. So Punk definitely can exist outside. He did the show Heels. He can exist outside the wrestling bubble if he needs to, I think. But, I definitely think he would sue if he was just outright fired. But will CM Punk just go his separate ways? Will they part ways? And honestly, look, AEW has been fine without both him and the Bucks and Kenny Omega. They've consistently been over a million after that happened. So, matter of fact, check out this clip. Booker T was talking about this on his podcast. Check out this clip, and we'll catch you on the backside.
But you're right. They just put on a wrestling show. And they've been able to – go ahead.
But one thing. Do you think anybody – after you watched that show, you watched it, right?
I watched it.
I didn't watch all of it.
I watched it all.
Just tell me this. Did you miss anybody?
Hell no.
That's my point. That goes to show you, as far as how big of a star you are and how big of a star you might really think you are. You know what I mean? Because I don't think anybody missed anybody at the end of, that night. And that's what these guys need to understand, as far as, they think they're, a lot of people think they're big stars and whatnot.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that AEW doesn't seem to be missing Punk at all, or the Young Bucks. And it's interesting, in the ratings, like I said, they have been steady up over a million. And that could be a lot of different things. MJF is back now. MJF could be that difference maker that's putting them up over a million. It could be that it's just the fall season now. In the summertime, not everybody's in the house watching TV. They're out doing shit. They're out enjoying their life. They're not like me, just stuck down in my basement in front of my microphone all goddamn day. They are out doing things. They're not watching as much TV. So that could be playing into it as well. But it definitely isn't hurting the ratings that CM Punk's not on the show, or the Young Bucks, or Kenny Omega. That does lead me to wonder, are there a lot of people out there, like Jim Cornette says, that would like AEW better if it didn't have the children, the Young Bucks doing all their goofy shtick that they do? To me, I don't mind the Young Bucks. I like the Young Bucks. They do tend to get a little goofy at times, a little shticky, a little too super kick party-ish too much sometimes. But a lot of people love the Young Bucks. I don't know that they're a deterrent from the ratings, but Look at the ratings, man. They're up over a million steady since all this shit happened. And without CM Punk, that surprises me. CM Punk at one point was like AEW's like crown jewel, right? Like CM Punk was the guy, the figurehead, the front man for AEW. This was the holy grail that Tony Khan was seeking out when he started the company. He knew right away that CM Punk was one of the guys that he wanted to chase and wanted to have on his roster. He knew that CM Punk would be the guy that's going to take AEW to the next level. And he had every opportunity to be that guy. He looked like that's what he was going to be. And he did a lot of great business for AEW. And let's face it, his feud with MJF was probably the greatest feud in AEW history and one of Punk's most memorable feuds. He added to his legend in his in-ring work in AEW over the last year. He's done incredible work despite even being injured. CM Punk has delivered amazing matches. Not only that, but he's given the rub to a lot of young guys too. Remember how heavily criticized Punk was when he first came in because he's working with fucking Lee Moriarty and people like that. I think he had a match with QT Marshall and everybody's like, what the fuck are you doing, Punk? But Punk wanted to work his way. This was the long-term storytelling that they were trying to tell. You know, whereas like a Bryan Danielson came right in at the top of the company and getting a title shot. Punk wanted to work his way up the ladder. He wanted to start with the lower guys and just keep racking up wins on his way to achieving the AEW title. And I think that was the plan from the very beginning. And then he was going to run with it and then drop it to MJF. Of course, plans changed with both MJF's issue and then now Punk's injury. And then all this big fucking mess. It's a big mess. AEW had to think on the fly. They had to pivot. They had to change course. They had to change direction on the fly. And I think they've done great. And I think the fans have fully embraced it. The only thing I would criticize since the things that they've changed since CM Punk's been gone is maybe, you know, putting the belt back on Moxley kind of seems like same old a little bit still. It might have been good to just have MJF cash in that night to just get the shit done, just rip the Band-Aid off and be done with it and go a new direction because that seems to be where they were going anyway. It's interesting to see. I mean, CM Punk is not necessary to the success of AEW. You know, they don't need him. You know, they did draw a smaller crowd in Arthur Ashe than they did last year. But look, you know, their PR took a little bit of a hit this year too. So I don't know that that's all CM Punk. Maybe he would have been that difference maker to put them up to the 20,000 again. They're at about 15,000 this time. But time will tell. Ultimately, I think Punk does add a lot of value to AEW. He's a huge name that's going to help you, you know, when you're renegotiating your contract, that sort of thing. You want to say that you got a guy like CM Punk under contract. Problem is that he needs to really ingratiate himself back with the wrestling community. He's pretty well persona non grata right now. Everybody's salty at him. You know, he really fucked up. So I think he's got to come back as a heel, and then I think he'll be fine. Come back as a heel. He's going to get hate. He's going to get booed if he comes back, most likely anyway. Bring him back as a heel. Have him fuck somebody over majorly and have him be the devil. You know what I mean? Maybe have him fuck over MJF, and that'll be MJF's babyface turn, because we're talking 8 months in the future anyway because Punk's injury. Time will tell how this plays out. What do you guys think? Do you think that Punk's just going to get his contract bought out? You think he's going to be done with AEW, that we've seen the last of Punk in the pro wrestling business? Or do you think that time will just allow things to cool off and that Punk can come back with a fresh start and eventually just make an effort to redeem himself and probably have to do that as a heel to not go against the grain of getting booed. We shall see. We'll see how it all plays out. It's very interesting. You know, I haven't been shy about saying that Punk's one of my favorite guys. Punk is my favorite guy. You know, and he kind of broke my heart with this whole thing because I feel like he really showed some solid scumbaggery, and this is backed up by a lot of people who have always kind of thought he was a scumbag to begin with. So it's saddening, but I'm hoping he can come back and fully redeem himself, but we shall see. You don't really know me. Yeah. You don't really know. Action Bronson was on the Ariel Helwani MMA Hour this week, talking about a wide variety of Action Bronson shit, you know, his full career, the full spectrum, plus a lot of just sidebar shit, things that he's into, that sort of thing. But of course, what we care about here is the pro wrestling, right? We care about wrestling. And Action Bronson is a huge pro wrestling fan. And he talked with Ariel Helwani all about his fandom. And then he got into the specifics about what got him into AEW and how he found himself in a situation where he's having a match with Hook against 2.0. Check out Action Bronson talking about pro wrestling.
And when you were watching that back then, or at any point, did you ever say, this is something I want to do?
I always practiced. Like, I never thought that it'd be obtainable. You know, you don't think that type of thing is obtainable, but you practice and you do moves on each other in the rooms and shit like that and in school. So it always lived through us, just not professionally. And I was a fan. I just enjoyed.
Okay.
Never thought that it would ever happen.
So how did this come about? You're with AEW, at least for now. You're training with Taz, the legendary Absolutely. Taz, yep. FTW, That's his right. son Hook. Incredible. He's walking out to your song. Last time right. we spoke in April, we were just talking about, you know, oh yeah, you know, he's cool. I just kind of dabble. Yep. But how did this whole thing come about?
Man, they had the idea first for me to walk him down the ring. And then, you know, I started training a little bit, and they saw my athleticism and my prowess.
Where'd you train?
In Long Island.
Okay.
At the same place MJF did. I don't know if it's known or not, but, you know, it's called Creator Pro. I like to give them a plug because they showed a lot of love.
Okay.
Just started fucking around, you know, teaching me shit.
When was that?
I'd say 9-10 weeks ago.
Okay, not that long.
Not that long. So we just started, you know, things started moving from there.
And was that the first time you were ever in a ring?
Yeah.
Taking bumps?
Yeah.
What is that like? Because I've heard from people, we've seen MMA fighters go over. Yeah. King Mo did it, Tito did it, and they're like, shit, this is a lot harder than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, taking a bump is not, you know, I just fucking practice offense. Fuck that.
Okay. My character Can I see you going fall. On your back?
I don't fall.
You don't fall? Okay, fine. Fair enough.
I have in the contract.
Oh.
I don't fall.
Good.
Fuck that.
Yeah. Any cartwheels?
Nah, no cartwheels, but nah.
You know, we talked a little bit about this last week with Lars Fredriksson on the Sessions podcast with Renee Paquette. I love when these worlds collide, right? Action Bronson's a giant star. He's a big-time rapper, you know? He's not like Jay-Z level megastar, but he's a goddamn big-name rapper. And for him to just be an openly unabashed fan of pro wrestling and to take it to the point where he's actually going and he's training at Create a Pro, you know, he's taking it seriously. He's not just like the celebrity. Now, is he going to be a Logan Paul? No. Is he even going to be Bad Bunny? No. But Action Bronson's taking it seriously enough to go to Create a Pro to learn the moves. I've seen some news sites picking up on the Bronson saying that he doesn't take bumps, it's in his contract. Obviously, he was joking there. He's being facetious. I don't think those websites that picked up on that really understand those when people are joking. You just fucking take everything serious in life. Of course, Action Bronson's taking bumps. It's the first thing you do. There's no way they're going to let him get in the ring without having ever taken a bump. That's ridiculous. Unless he's got some sort of like you know, he's been in a car crash and his back is in shambles and he physically cannot take bumps or he'll be like crippled or something, but he can just go in there and just throw a few punches and a body slam or something like that. Now, full disclosure, Rampage has already happened. As I, you know, record this, it's Saturday morning. I have not seen the show yet. So, I don't know exactly how it played out. Maybe he didn't take a bump. I don't fucking know. But this, anytime that AEW can cash in on the cachet, if you will, of a huge star like an Action Bronson and capitalize on having their name associated with AEW is always a good thing. You know, bringing him in for something like this, it's just the same as WWE doing it with Logan Paul and Bad Bunny. You know, AEW's done it with Shaq and stuff like that. This is just I love these kind of things. I don't mind it at all as long as it fits, as long as it's not taking spots away from anybody else. You know, technically, like Logan Paul over in WWE is taking a spot away from somebody getting a title shot main event against Roman. But this spot here with Action Bronson, this is fun, and it was cool to hear more about Action Bronson too. I can't say that I'm that familiar with the guy, even though I am a rap fan. He's just not somebody that's really been on my radar too much. And Ariel Helwani is a fantastic interviewer. He is, in my opinion, between this and the MJF interview that he did this week, he did both of those interviews this week. For my money, Ariel Helwani is the greatest interviewer that there is. You know, I think last time I talked about Ariel, I said he was one of, you know, Chris Van Vliet I compared to as well as another really good interviewer in this world, you know, the world of professional wrestling and that sort of thing. But Ariel Helwani to me is the best. I think Ariel's career is going to far exceed just the small level sports stuff. You know, right now he talks to a lot of sports guys and then just, you know, Action Bronson and wrestlers and that kind of stuff. I fully believe that a guy like Ariel Helwani is going to be like interviewing the president someday. He's going to be like, he's young. I think, you know, we're going to grow up with Ariel and we're going to see Ariel on our TV in fucking 30 years as an old gray-haired man interviewing the biggest names in the history of the world. You know, presidents, things like that, world leaders, mega stars. Like he's the best interviewer I've ever seen. He's so casual, he's so personable, and he gets the raw questions out of people without being like too pushy or too like schlocky or anything like that. Like he's just the best. And what more can I say about Ariel? This was just a fantastic interview with Action Bronson. I highly recommend you go check it out. I have linked it down in the description below, whether you're listening to the podcast or watching on YouTube. It is there in the description. Go check that shit out. And Action Bronson, AEW. Eddie Kingston was on WFAN Sports Radio in New York this week, hyping up the big show at Arthur Ashe Stadium. Apparently, Eddie Kingston is like a childhood friend of this guy that's hosting this radio show, so they go way back. And they were talking all about the big Arthur Ashe show and just being a New Yorker and returning to New York for wrestling. But it was in this particular clip here where Eddie was asked straight up about his suspension and everything going on with the backstage heat with Sammy Guevara. Check out this clip.
The news hits of Eddie Kingston getting suspended from AEW. I'm like, where have I heard this before? I feel like I've heard this I feel like I've heard this 1,000 times over. Eddie, tell me a little bit about that situation if you can. I know that things are kind of cleared up because you're facing Sammy coming up, but tell me the situation. What happened and how things are looking right now?
I'm not going to go too inside baseball, you know what I mean, about it.
Yeah.
All I know is I was wrong because I acted very unprofessionally. I touched another man's face. And you know what, man? It is what it is. It's assault. So I was wrong. But now, let's get back to the serious thing. I got him in New York, and now he can't charge me with anything. You see what I'm saying?
And oh, I do.
People could sit there and say whatever they want, but once you got to go at it in the ring, and people could, again, people can say whatever they want, but there will be live rounds. I know there will be, because I know he's going to try to test me because he feels like he has to look good in the locker room, because he doesn't look good now, I can tell you that much. And then I'm just going to whack him back, and we're going to see who's going to see it all. I have no problem going at it. Would I like to wrestle and go hold for hold and all that? Yeah. But 9 out of 10 times in this company, he put me against guys I really don't like. So I'm not going to go hold for hold for you. I'm going to try to pop your eardrum. I'm going to bite you. I'm going to gouge your nose. Pete, you see me do this. You see me fight kids.
I know.
You've seen it. Like in real life, you've seen this. So that's what I do. Hey, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's hard to tell with Eddie. Like, he's another one of those people that really is good at blurring the lines of kayfabe, much like an MJF, you know. Eddie Kingston comes off very much as like an everyman, you know. Jim Cornette always likes to say that Moxley's like the plumber, but Eddie Kingston's really the plumber, isn't he? He's the every guy. He's the mechanic, I guess, is what Cornette likes to call him. But that's what he is. He's just an everyday dude. And when he talks like this, it's hard to tell, you know, when he's like, yeah, there's a lot of guys in AEW I don't like, and he'll name them. But is he just saying that because he's been in feuds with these guys on TV? You know, when he says he doesn't like Jericho or Danielson or Claudio, he's had actual like storyline beefs with these people. So is he just playing into the kayfabe when he says he doesn't actually like these people? Or is Eddie Kingston just that divisive, you know, where there's just like a group of people that he don't fuck with backstage? I'm sure maybe it falls somewhere in the middle. Kingston's never shy about giving his opinion on anything, that's for sure. And I can see how Sammy Guevara could rub people the wrong way. We'll actually get into Sammy Guevara a little bit later on the full show if you're listening to that. But yeah, Eddie Kingston's never shy to give his opinion. And like I said, I don't fully know if he's completely, you know, being 100% real, or if there's kayfabe blurred in there, or where we stand with the whole thing. But it's nice to hear that there is a little bit of animosity that's going to get resolved in this match. I like that they're going to be facing each other. I like that they're going to be able to get it all out. You know, at the time that I'm recording this, I have not seen that match, even though I know that it would have aired by the time that you hear this. So it'll be interesting to see how that actually played out. If there was a fight, you know, like Kingston said, there's going to be some live rounds thrown out there, I'm sure. I haven't seen it, so it, you know, you'll know more than I am as you're listening to this than I do right at the second that I'm recording this. How that played out on TV. I'm glad they were able to work it out, though. I don't know why that didn't happen at All Out. It almost feels like they saved the bigger stuff from All Out instead of doing it there. They did it at this Arthur Ashe show. You know, they really stacked the Arthur Ashe show. That would have been something. Maybe it took until now to work that out between him and Sammy. Who knows? And Kingston said that, you know, he had to go to counseling for that, or, you know, whatever. He had to anger management type thing. He admits that he was in the wrong. You can't. He said, I touched a guy's face. I was in the wrong. I guess technically that's assault. I don't know. You know, but yeah, you don't go around backstage just pie facing people. I mean, that was deserved. You teach them a lesson. But Eddie's one of my favorite guys on the roster. He continues to just impress me. He's not like the greatest wrestler in the world, and I don't necessarily get into those, you know, match long chop battles. I think that's a bit much too. But Eddie Kingston's one of the real ones, you know, for better or for worse. And I think that's why a lot of people just love Eddie Kingston. I don't know anybody that really doesn't like Eddie Kingston. You know, he looks like a slob, but goddamn, can the guy talk? He can talk and talk. He can sweet talk the shit out of you. Remember when he debuted his match against Cody Rhodes? You know, I had heard of Eddie Kingston before, but I didn't know much about him. But as soon as he opened his mouth on that microphone, I was like, we got to sign that guy. You know, he got signed right away. So I'm glad that, you know, they saw the same thing. But yeah, all these years later, or about what? About 2 years after he was signed, Eddie Kingston, still kicking ass, still one of my favorites. And I like that he's able to blur the lines of what's real and what's not real in these interviews and just tell it like it is. He's a real motherfucker. And that's the, you know, he was interviewed by a guy that was his childhood friend. And he's like, yeah, that's Eddie Kingston. He told a story on the show about back when they were playing like fucking Little League Baseball or some shit like that. And Eddie Kingston got into it with this host's like friend or something like that, or some kid that was picking on his friend. Something to that effect, where Eddie Kingston just stepped in and got in somebody's face over something all the way back then even. So the host says he was not surprised when he heard that Kingston got suspended for, you know, pie-facing somebody. So good shit. I love me some Eddie Kingston. What do you guys think? Let me know down in the comments if you're watching on YouTube. And with that said, I'm going to go ahead and move on to the next. Malakai Black has broken his silence since his release from AEW, and he does not seem to be happy with the news and the rumors that are leaking on out to the internet. Malakai is coming out and saying flat out that everybody talking about his mental health was not supposed to leak out to the internet, that that was something that he had said in confidence in private, and that is not something that should have made it out to the public. Well, it's public now. It's public fucking now, Malakai Black. And he released this full statement talking about in detail specifics on that part of his beef with this whole situation, as well as just his overall general status on his mental health, where he's at with everything, and where he plans to go. I'm going to go ahead and read this statement in full for you, and then we're going to go ahead and just analyze it on the back end. All. Firstly, thank you all for your messages. Know they are being read and appreciated. With all the turmoil going on in the landscape of professional wrestling, I took the time to think of my words, but also needed to wait until conversations between mine and AEW's camps had come to a conclusion. Firstly, I dislike reading parts of my private conversations between myself and AEW in regards to my mental health and well-being on the internet. These conversations were private and not meant to be shared with the public. As by now, most people realize I am a very private person and do not feel the need to have stuff like this out on the internet. If you've been following me for longer than a cup of coffee, you're aware I've spoken about them prior, but would like to be the one to decide when this finds its way on to the... when it finds its way to the public and not through someone else's mouth. As with anything, through the lips of someone else's, the story gets distorted. Secondly, to be in line with the above, that's a weird wording, they also need context. I did indeed ask for my release. The last 2 years of my life have lended to a lot of setbacks. Both me and my wife have been affected by uncontrollable actions from the outside that resulted in loss of life, medical setbacks, career jeopardizing, the suicide of a close friend and close family member, almost losing their lives, then experiencing an injury that I was sure was the end of my career. I spend every week going through several sessions of rehab, dry needling, and therapy just to be able to walk and compete. Now, this being the tip of the iceberg, and with the combination of the promises in my professional field that were not upheld, which resulted as a combination of all of these to a complete demoralization of life and career. This decision has been in my mind for the past 6 months. It's hard to really put a finger and say this was the moment it all went wrong. But I can tell you after many years that I have learned from a rational point of view to see when I need to hit the brakes, which is what this is. Perhaps once my mind settles on certain things and processes the last 2 years a bit better, I will convey via a different platform than written out what the exacts were that happened and have a more informed conversation about them. Another Talk is Jericho episode about why I left AEW, right? For now, know that I am good and am taking, for the first time in 22 years, a few months to recalibrate the last 2 decades of my life. Lastly, I have read a few narratives online in regards to my release, mental health, and my personal life that I can summarize swiftly. If it didn't come from me, it didn't happen. Stuff about conditional releases, stuff in my marriage, or using said mental health to leverage the other when I said before that part wasn't even going to be part of the public conversation are false. My marriage is fine. I am fine. It is just time to make sure those things stay that way. Once again, I appreciate your support, and we will see each other soon. MB. What does the MB stand for? That's what I want to know. Malachi Black is certainly kind of laid out his 2 cents, did he not? Sounds pretty upset that the narrative out there is that he's got this mental health issue and that's why he had his release. And the conditional part he kind of pushed back against too. We had heard that he had a conditional release from AEW. Word was that he is not able to compete for a year, or at least compete to like on TV, like basically WWE or Impact maybe. Why would he do that though for a year? Maybe that's the case. Maybe it's not. I don't know. I'm kind of wondering though, Malachi Black is, the more that we learn about this guy, is he ever happy? Is he difficult to please? I'm wondering what promises were made to him that never came through. What's he talking about that he was made certain promises that weren't capped? You know, what? Was he supposed to get a big run with the title, brother? Woo! Is that the deal? Is he going to be the champ? He's going to hold all the belts? You know, he's going to be the All-Atlantic and the AEW and the TNT, and he's just going to hold them all up over his head all the time and just spray black mist in everybody's face? Like, what did this guy want? He had a shot at the world title. He main-evented several Dynamites. He got to bring in his friends and do his faction. I don't know what he's being held back from necessarily that was so bad that he had to get out. That was demoralizing. What was demoralizing about his run in AEW? Was he used to his full potential? No. He's definitely more of a top guy than he was being used as. I would not have done the House of Black so soon. I would have given him a solid run as a contender for the title. I would have given him a big program with Hangman. I think he had a match with Hangman, but I would have given him a big program with Hangman, several matches, a feud, maybe ending in like a stipulation match of some kind, something brutal. I would have gave him a little bit more attention, but it's not like he was a job guy by any means. And he was able to bring in Buddy Matthews, and he was able to bring in Brody King. I don't know if he was like directly responsible for bringing these people in, but he certainly had a say in it, and he wanted to do this faction, and they wanted to do the dark shit. Was he trying to do too much of dark stuff? Was he trying to get into weird stuff that Tony Khan just shot down because it was too out there or something? I don't know. Who knows? Who knows what it is? I would highly speculate. We heard rumors before that like Sean Ross Sapp was saying that there was guys within AEW that would have never left WWE had they known that Triple H was going to be in charge. And I put Malachi Black at the top of that list. I think he wants to go back to Papa H. I think that's just where he wants to be, and I think that's where all of this lies. And I think he's just made up some bullshit to get out of his contract. And that's exactly what I think happened. That's exactly what I think is happening here. That's what I think the situation is. Call it like I see it. Dudes get none of this was an issue until Papa H took back over, you know. When Vince was still in charge, we didn't hear Malachi Black was looking to get back out. As soon as Triple H took back, oh no, Malachi Black, oh, I'm sad, no, I'm depressed. Mental health, and you know, like, you know, we all go through some shit, so I'm not gonna like criticize him for that, but I just don't, there's just nothing here to indicate that that's why he's leaving. That's not the real reason, it might be part of it, but I just can't imagine things were that bad in AEW to cause this guy to be so fucking distraught and demoralized. You know what I mean? Like, he had a shot at the world title. He's been in several main events. He's got his buddies in. He runs a faction. He does his dark, spooky shit. I don't know what else you want, right? Other than to go back to Papa H. That's it. That's all it is. And I was on record before. I said on this show before, fuck him. Let him leave. Let him go. There's no reason to keep anybody on your roster that doesn't want to be there. You want a team. You want people to be excited about team. You want people to be working towards the better of the entire company, because you when you are only concerned with yourself, you can only go up so far. When you bring up everybody around you, now all these matches mean more that you have. You beat guy when you beat a guy that you were able to bring up and were able to, you know, when the whole ship is rising, or whatever the fuck analogy you want to use, right? Rising tides raise all ships or some shit like that. You know, when the whole company is hot, everybody you work with, it means that much more when you beat them, or, you know, it's that much bigger of a match. So it's important for the whole company to do well, and you don't want these complainy fuckers hanging around. They're just unhappy with every, so, oh, I don't like my storyline. AEW is creative freedom. Come up with your own shit. Are you just coming up with outlandish stuff that Tony Khan's shooting down? Do you just want to hold every single championship and be the top guy forever? Do you, like, I honestly don't understand what the deal is here. Yes, he could have been used better. Yes, I would have used him better, but I don't think he's used like shit. I think he wants to go back to Papa H. Come at me, bro, if you think differently, but I doubt you do. Sammy Guevara made the news this week as he speculated on his vlog that he may be looking to just give up and leave AEW. This, of course, is coming out because he's been noticing that the fans are turning on him, that he doesn't have the same relationship that he had with the fans that he once had, and he's not sure why. How could you not be, bro? Are you that fucking tone deaf? You don't know why? Check out this clip of Sammy Guevara on Sammy's vlog.
I also got pretty frustrated because I try to do and make a moment every time I'm out there. But somewhere along the way, I just got this crazy amount of hate. I don't understand really what I did, but I see it. People want me to go away. People say they're tired of me, blah, 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 blah. So while I'm in this negative mindset, I think maybe I should go away. Maybe this is it for me, you know? I had a nice ride, and maybe I need to go away to get y'all to appreciate me, because that's what you guys do. You know, that's what y'all did to Cody. While he was in AEW, y'all hated him. And then he went to WWE, and you guys love him now. So I thought in my mind, man, I'm like, you know what? Maybe this is it for me. And I'm not even talking about, you know, going somewhere else. I'm just talking about maybe I just need to take a break in general. But I took a breath, and I thought, there's still some tread on the tires. There's still gas in the tank, and so we're going to keep going. We're not giving up.
First of all, just in general, them as a couple are kind of disgusting and annoying. Of course, they're both gorgeous people, right? So they're annoying just on that level, that they're these two beautiful couple people, that, you know, this couple of beautiful people that sit and make out in front of you and that kind of stuff. And that's just going to rub you the wrong way as a person, because none of us are that beautiful or have somebody that's beautiful, right? So there's the jealousy factor right off the bat. And then secondly, like, people, listen, this dude proposed to his fiance at the time, his girlfriend at the time, this Pam chick, on live TV. And then there was a lot of people that were familiar with Sammy Guevara's vlog, which featured his girlfriend Pam quite frequently. You know, she was on there quite often, and she was a very sweet gal. You know, maybe a tad homely compared to Ty Conti, who's like a goddamn supermodel, right? But, you know, people were fairly attached to Pam, and it was this kind of cool situation where you had this like stud Sammy Guevara, right? That was with this relatively homely girl. I don't want to criticize her too much. She was cute, but she wasn't Ty Conti, right? You know, she wasn't like stunning. So it's like, she was just cute. You know, it was like somebody that any of us could end up dating or something like that. So it was commendable that Sammy was with her, sticking with her, in love with her, proposing to her. He proposed to her on TV, did a lot of skits with her on his vlog. So people got to know his girlfriend Pam. So then, all of a sudden, just not long after this proposal on TV whatsoever, we hear that Ty Conti has scooped in and stolen Sammy Guevara away from Pam, and that the marriage was off. And then shortly out, you know, news broke that the marriage was off. And then shortly after, Sammy and Ty came out as, you know, being a couple together. And of course, Ty was married too. Ty either obviously she got a divorce because she's married to Sammy now. But she was married at the time, you know, so she also left somebody for Sammy. So that's a lot of heat right there. You know, you look back, this is not entirely unlike the Matt Hardy, Lita Edge situation. Not in the sense that there's a Matt Hardy involved in this, other than like Pam, I guess, if you want to consider her anything in this. But it's just that, like, when Edge and Lita got together, it was under scumbaggy circumstances to an extent, right? It was like, it was, you know, they cheated together and they were hiding their relationship for a little bit. And that's, to an extent, scumbaggy. And now, look, we all make mistakes and we've all had these situations, right? Maybe not everybody, but I mean, these things happen, you know. All's fair in love and war, right? So that's the old saying. And things happen when you fall in love with people. It can really cloud a lot of things or make people do silly shit. So, but that's where the heat's coming from. People are upset about Pam, poor Pam. And then how dare Sammy do this? How dare Ty? She's a homewrecker, right? This fucking homewrecking slut came in, this floozy, plus she left her man. And now they're also on TV flaunting it, making out with each other obnoxiously in everybody's face, wearing these outrageous outfits that just, they're the ridiculous power couple that's making out all over, very Edge and Lita-like. And then, people that do follow the vlog as well, I'm sure their vlog views have taken a hit, because I don't watch it as much anymore. Because since Ty came into the picture, you know, Sammy's had this whole vlog crew, right? He's got Griff Garrison, and he had Marco Stunt on there, and Fuego del Sol, and Aaron Solo's on there. And he's got this whole crew of his friends. Alan Angels was on there for a while before he left AEW. His crew of friends, his vlog crew, and they hang out together backstage, and a lot of the skits revolve around them. And it's Ty came in and she kind of joined that crew, but she kind of took over the crew. And now it's kind of become almost the Sammy and Ty show. And it's just, and she's unbearable. Ty Conti, like, I used to really like Ty a lot, you know, first of all, just because she's hot, but she also kicked ass. And she was, you know, like, I felt bad for her when she was released from NXT, and her getting picked up by AEW and then given the push and then showing how great she was, and then the TJ tag team. Like, I was a fan of all that. But now, like, they're both just natural heels. They really are. They're both unlikable. Tay on that vlog, she's annoying. She's so unbearable. She's mean. She's snotty. She's bratty. Other than just being hot, like, I have no idea what Sammy even sees in her. You know what I mean? Like, she's pretty unbearable. She doesn't get along with his friends all that well. You know, it's like, I don't know, man. I just don't like her. And that's the thing. It's Ty. It's Ty Conti. That's what happened with Sammy Guevara. That's why the fans turned on Sammy Guevara. And what he needs to do in this situation is to just look at Edge and Lita. The fans turned on Edge and Lita. They hated Edge and Lita. They had go away heat to a certain extent, but they were so damn good that you couldn't deny them, you know, and everything they did made you hate them, but they eventually earned your respect. You know, when they beat the shit out of Matt Hardy, when Edge, you know, buried Matt Hardy, you know, he busted him up at the SummerSlam, and then they had the steel cage match, which Edge also won, and then Hardy had to leave the show. You know, Hardy got cuckolded, and then he got fucking kicked off the show. You know what I mean? So it was a bad situation for him. But Edge and Lita, they just wrote it out. Just ride it out. Play it up as a heel. Use it to get heel heat. Be a mega heel. You know, you can't go out there when the fans hate you. You cannot work against the grain. You can't go out there and try to go, why don't you like me? And just keep trying to win them over. And, oh, I'm just going to do more high spots and just try to continue to grind out and impress you in the ring. And eventually you'll, no, be the fucking heel. Lean into it. Okay, you guys don't like me, you don't like Tay, fine, we're going to be extra obnoxious. And they do that to a certain extent on TV, but I think deep down, Sammy's butthurt about being, you know, turned on by the fans. And that's where this comes from with his vlog statement here, to the point where he considered, maybe I need to go away a little bit, like Cody did. That's not it. People don't like you because they don't like Tay. And they know you guys are both kind of scumbaggy fuck faces, and they don't want to watch you, but they do want to watch you. They want to hate watch you. So lean into that, be a big heel, and eventually on the other end, the fans will come back around and respect you overall. But you got to go through, you got to walk through that fire. That's what you got to do. Kevin Nash, big sexy, big daddy cool, buried the entire AEW roster this week on his show Click This with Sean Oliver. And he laid into AEW hard. He was talking about the whole CM Punk situation. He laid into CM Punk a little bit there and just kind of basically called him a prick, you know, but he said he kind of sees a lot of himself in CM Punk. So Nash is basically calling himself a prick too, which he is. We all know that. But then he went in hard on AEW and just basically buried the entire fucking locker room at this point. Check out this clip.
He literally snapped. We all do. We're all human.
Oh, no. He didn't lose his shit. That's toxic fucking shock. He didn't pull his tampon out. He's fucking got toxic shock syndrome. And on top of that, all you guys at AEW, you bunch of dumb motherfuckers. You bunch of dumb motherfuckers. You're 1099s. You know what that means? That means you were painting somebody's fucking house and you guys got into a fight and they told you you're all suspended.
You work for yourself.
Wasn't it after the fucking deal? You guys can't work that out. You guys are going to... But I haven't heard that if they're being suspended without pay.
No, they're with, as far as I know.
So they're the fucking cop that fucking shoots the guy 23 times in the back and then sits
internal investigation.
Yeah, it sits at his desk. That's an effective way to fucking manage. What a bunch of shit.
Yeah, Kevin Nash never shy about his opinion, is he? He's just tell it straight up like it is. His show is very enjoyable. He's very, very raw. Lots of F-bombs. I can appreciate that. Lots of F-bombs on my show as well. You know, the whole 1099 thing is a little bit of a misnomer, though. You know, Nash, I think, has leaned into that and kind of played off of that most of his career as a talent, but it's more of a misnomer because these guys are signed to contracts. You know, it's not necessarily you come to paint your house because that's a quick job. You know what I mean? Like, you're there for a couple days and you're gone. These are people that are signed for years. So they're basically signed on, and there's other things in their contracts, and there's deals in their contract where they can't, they can't do things like bad public image type stuff, right? You know, like if you catch like a Me Too rap or something like that, you can be shit canned, no problem, or suspended until, you know, charges are figured out or you're cleared or whatever the case may be. Right now, there was a backstage fight that could lead to a legal situation. So, yes, AEW can fully, absolutely suspend everybody, and they have to just sit there and take it. Yes, that is part of their contract deal. So I get what Nash is saying. They don't technically, you know, they work for themselves, not the company, so they can just, you know, up yours with a twirling lawnmower and that kind of shit, you know. But at the end of the day, they basically are employees of the company, the way their contracts are structured, you know, the things that they have to abide by, the rules that they have to follow, the structure that they are within is all written into the contract that they signed and agreed to. So it's a bit of a misnomer, but, you know, Nash, I'm sure, would have tried to handle things differently. But AEW was a big old mess after this whole thing. I think the best thing was to suspend everybody, though. You know, you got to get rid of everybody and just let it breathe. You know what I mean? Like, you got to get rid of everybody that was being toxic in any way, shape, or form. Anybody that was going to cause the company any kind of headaches or any kind of PR nightmares for the foreseeable future, and just let them breathe. And that's why I think Punk will come back around too. He needs to come back as a heel, but I think he'll come back around because he's got not only the suspension, but he's going to be off injured for a certain amount of time too, for like 8 months. So it's going to be almost a year before we see Punk back anyway. It'll be like, you know, right before the next summer, you know, for another summer of Punk run. But he's got to come back as a heel. I think the air would have cleared by then. All this will get cleared up and go away eventually. But Kevin, you know, Kevin had a lot of good points in his rant too. So it kind of, it does go both ways. Time will tell. We'll see how this one plays out. But I think, you know, just giving it room to breathe, get away from it for a little while, and reset is the best course of action. That's it, y'all. That's all I got for you this week. Thank you so much for checking out the show. I do appreciate you guys hanging out, listening through all the way to the very end. I'll make the plugs quick for you this week. If you could like, follow, and subscribe on Facebook, TikTok, Twitter. It's going to be at Seth Grimes Media. Just search me out there if you're on any of those platforms to catch extra content that I'm posting there. Doing a lot of shorts, a lot of clips, plus just my random musings and thoughts throughout the day, you know, or things that I share. It's a good place to hang out for extra content. I also got a book out, The Gathering, A Bold Journey into the Belly of the Juggalo Underworld. It's about a dude that goes to the Gathering of the Juggalos Music Festival, but he hates Juggalos. He thinks they're all gross and scummy and sucks. And he goes on a drug-induced filled adventure. It's a great read on Amazon, Kindle, or Audible, whatever you like. Links are in the description below. Also, I do have NFTs themed after professional wrestling. They are the Cryptomania NFTs. We have championship belts that are mashups of your favorite pro wrestling championship belts, with all of the top cryptocurrencies like the WWE ETH Championship. Links in the description below if you're into crypto to check those out. And finally, check out my reaction videos. They're right here on the same channel, just on a different playlist labeled Reactions. There you'll check out all my different reactions. I'm covering music videos, movie trailers, TV shows. I I got a raccoon taste testing Cheetos, and I got some random pro wrestling stuff thrown in there as well. Something for everybody. I'm sure you'll find something that you will enjoy in there. So if you want to see extra content from me, I'm putting a lot of extra content out there in the reactions tab. Also, keep an eye out for bonus content. I'm going to be trying the one chip challenge this weekend, and I'm pretty certain I'm going to die from that, but lots of fun stuff going up on YouTube, TikTok, Facebook. So keep an eye out for all of that. Until next time, that's all I got for you. Peace, love, and pizza. I am your boy, Seth Grimes, and this has been the Pro Wrestling Podcast.
I hate Juggalos. I fucking hate them. I say all this with a grain of salt because for a good part of my own life, I proudly identified as a Juggalo. You should come to the gathering with me. Nah, man. I'm not into all that whoop whoop shit anymore. I'll pay for your ticket. I got fired today.
Get the fuck out!
Still got room for me?
Spike, slow the fuck down! Cops!
Fuck your sleep. Fuck your sleep. Fuck your sleep.
The savages started closing in with their tiki torches and war paint.
Shit. Run!
You guys got a dead body here already? Even the aliens were throwing shade. It was pure panic and intense horror. There was a guy I saw got chopped in half. I had nothing left to go back to.
You alive?
Yep. The gathering. A bold journey into the belly of the Juggalo underworld.